All right, here we go. Episode 71. We got Edwin with us tonight. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, Edwin was with us last year, and he had one of his buddies with him, and he was like a phantom guest. He was a ghost, man. I think he said, like, we gave him a couple layup questions, but we'll give him another try. We'll bring him back around. I like Fagan, man. Yeah. And he's he's doing his thing sports wise over at Fenwick, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's at Fenwick. So cool. So we'll bring him back around. Uncle Clint, what is this? Two pods in a row that he's out? Uncle Clint's been busy. He's looking at houses. He's doing all kinds of stuff. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to put him on speakerphone just to get his Super Bowl pick, because that's what we're talking about tonight. That's why we're getting this out on a Friday night at, what time is it? It's 8:10. We're doing it because we want to make sure we get this thing loaded with our Super Bowl predictions before the Super Bowl. So when Edwin nails the final score with the right team and he's got this thing down, we don't want anybody second guessing it, being, oh, you put this thing up after the Super Bowl. We're going to be right on the money. We're going two topics only, Super Bowl and NBA trades. Because the NBA has been relatively, it's quiet. The regular season, it's such
and
a long.
And some Bulls, because, like, you know.
Well, the Bulls are part of the trade. The Bulls are part of the trade deadline. They were involved. I mean, their best player got moved.
They had to make a move.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about him. We'll talk about the game that, you know, sometimes the old guys go away, and then the new guys get to play. And you saw that with Bouzelis. Bouzelis had his best game.
Well, even with Levine, Bouzelis should be playing.
But I do tell Caden, we have to limit Bulls talk. Mainly
Why?
Because we don't know how many people are interested in hearing about
the
Bulls.
I don't
care. Now, Super Bowl, everybody wants to hear about it. So those are the two topics tonight. The Bulls could sneak their way in because they were part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, boys. I'm gonna let you guys take it. All I want to know is who's winning the Super Bowl. I want to know what your final score is, and that's it. So you can give me a little analysis on it. But at the end of the day, you can give me why, obviously. But I want to know what you got. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, what do you got?
I want to say something. The Eagles team, the Chiefs played at first weak. I want to say that they were weak. They didn't have a running back. You could say. I mean,
you're talking about the first Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
like two years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they got key weapons. They have Zach Bond, who just had his career season. Maybe a snub, a defensive player of the year. Who knows? And then they have Saquon Barkley. Insane addition, who they got at a cheap price. That changes the whole game. You see what he did versus the Commanders. We know what he can do. We know what he's about. 2,000 rushing yards and still counting, including postseason. I think with that piece and the defense they have now, especially with their secondary with Reed Blankenship, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, you know, as they call them, the exciting whites, this is just an Eagles team that can't be stopped.
Ooh, sounds like we got a pick for Philly.
So
going on the board here.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I really hope the Eagles win. I think the Eagles will, but I think that the Chiefs will have. The Chiefs will have something that the Eagles don't is the refs, and I feel like when you look at, you know, that can help more than people really know. I mean,
did you hear the Snoop Dogg joke when he was doing his intro?
I heard.
He said it's the Eagles versus the refs, and people started laughing and all that. But yeah, that's gotten quite a bit of media.
Yeah,
play.
And I don't know, like, it just kind of seems like it's repetitive, and I've heard of these refs that the refs are absolutely horrible. So. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I feel like if they can establish a consistent running game, I think when you look at the teams that have faced the Chiefs, the running game's not very consistent. Like the Texans, like Mixon really wasn't like really that engaged. The Bills, I mean, Cook, he was good, but like, again, it's
typical
like, it's,
Bills,
yeah, it's
typical
that.
Bills play calling. They don't go with their best weapons.
So I think the Eagles are going to show something to the Chiefs that they have not done a lot, which is a consistent big powerhouse running game. So with that, I think that if the wide receivers, they're going to force less pressure on them. But again, it's really going to feel like, can the Eagles strike first and can they get out to a hot start? And then can they not, emotionally and physically, can they not let the refs get to their head with the way like they play?
The thing about the refs is that the calls that end up going the Chiefs' way are just so huge.
And they're
like,
obvious,
you know what I mean? Like, that's not, you can watch a game and go, oh, that, like, the Commanders versus the Eagles. The Eagles got some calls early in that game. Mm-hmm. And you see that happen for teams. But, like, the Chiefs, it seems like it ends up being the biggest call of the game.
It's consistent.
It's huge plays. And, I mean, this goes back, and we talked about it on the last pod, but it can't be talked about enough, was the first Super Bowl against the Eagles was essentially iced on a terrible call. I mean, a call that shouldn't have been made at that time of the game. No way should that have been called defensive holding and let the basically put the Chiefs in a spot to have the Eagles waste all their timeouts and put them in a spot to win that game. That was called at a terrible time, and it ruined what was one of the best Super Bowls of your guys' lifetime for sure, and one of the best of mine as well, which is a lot more years than you guys. I mean, that Super Bowls are traditionally bad games. Like, if you look over the history of all the Super Bowls, there have been a lot of stinkers. That was a special game where if they could have given the Eagles the chance with timeouts to try to win that game going the other way, it would have just made it. Even if they lost it, it just would have, it would have had a better finish. It would have been more exciting, and a call from the refs ruined it. They can't allow that to happen again. And again, I go back to the Bills game. Big moments, right? The catch by Worthy, the fourth and one spot, all those things ended up being huge plays that turned that game around and ended up going the wrong way for, obviously, the other team. So with all that being said, I will go back to you guys before I give my prediction, because I'm curious of what you guys think about how the game's going to go. Like, Edwin, great feedback, great thought on the Eagles and their strengths. What kind of game do you think it's going to be? Do you think we're talking, you know, think we're talking high scoring? You think we're talking dirty? Like, what kind of... How do you think it's
going
to go?
I'm going to think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a clash of the Titans. You know, you have all-pro defense versus all-pro defense. However, Eagles do have the, what do you say, the lead on offense. They have the more elite offense, you know. But the thing about Patrick Mahomes is he makes it work. No matter who it is, no matter who's he throwing it to, no matter who's handing off to, he makes it work. He turns nobodies into stars, which is something we've seen like Brady, you know. You can compare them like that, but... I just think someone like that, you just can't stop the brand new established Eagles running game. You've seen before, Eagles never really had a consistent running game besides maybe the tush push, but we're not going to count that. I want to say their passing game was what they always stuck to. And now that they have an established run game with a potentially future Hall of Famer running back in the backfield and top three O-line in the league, there's just something you cannot stop. Which is why I see a 38-27 final score, give me Philadelphia.
Gotcha. 38-27, Edwin's on the board with. Caden, what do you think we're going to see for a
40-31 Philadelphia.
40-31. This is what I would. This is why I wanted you guys to go before me.
Because I just feel like the Eagles have had success without the running game. Like you said, they had DeAndre Swift, and you saw with the Bears, he's just not going to be a guy where he's going to be a powerhouse running back. But I think that... you know, I also feel like the Eagles do not have, you know, as much. I feel like the Eagles have weapons. They have actually more weapons, I feel like, than the Chiefs. But I don't feel like it's going to be. I just don't. I'm not sure if guys like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are going to step up. But
you got the Eagles winning.
Yeah, I do. I think that's a question, but I think they are. I think that the Chiefs are going to adjust hardly on Saquon Barkley. And I think that actually the passing game. It's going to be the reason that it's going to step up. I think that the Chiefs are going to focus too much on the running game, and the passing game is going to step up.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Because now you've seen this whole season, A.J. Brown's kind of been being a diva, you know, complaining about
it's a wide receiver, man.
Throwing him, yeah. We see that a lot, especially guys like DJ Moore.
Yeah,
it's rough, but
it is.
I think it comes down to who wants it more, and I think it's the Eagles. They've had that chip on their shoulder since 2 years ago. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith had that heartbreaker. I mean, now they want it way more than the Chiefs do. They've come off two rings, and they're going to be like, oh, it's going to be a breeze. It's going to be a breeze. We're going to walk in. We're going to take it from them.
And but I also feel like Hurts kind of seems like a guy where when things aren't going his way, he always finds a way to bounce back. I remember you saying when he was at, I think it was Oklahoma, that was the last college.
Alabama, yeah, where they put two.
No, it was,
well, yeah. Well, then he went to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I remember, when he was at Alabama, he got transferred to Oklahoma.
He got benched in the national championship.
Yeah, for Tua. And then I remember you saying when he was at Oklahoma, he's not going to be very good. And he wasn't, I mean, no one really thought he was going to be good. Then he gets drafted, and then he kind of continuously grows. And now he lost the Super Bowl. Then he had a very bad year, like a collapse last year. I feel like every type of adversity finds ways to bounce back. And even like A.J. Brown, I feel like, you know, like you said, he's not had the best year. But I think if you know, like I say, he's going to be a guy that's going to step up. He has a hard task with McDuffie on him. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be about the X factors, but more importantly, who's going to win the big-time matchups with their big-time players?
For me, I think a guy like Jalen Hurts is always locked in. You never see the press getting to him. You never see big games, big losses getting to him. He's just always just staying locked in, always focusing on the next thing coming, which is why I think someone like him has the ability to lead a team, especially that elite, to winning this Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I also feel it takes less pressure. Like Saquon takes less pressure off him. And I think there was a lot of pressure last year. Maybe that was the reason why he didn't do too good.
I didn't think Hurts was going to be a good pro. He's totally proven me wrong. I think he's phenomenal, and I think that he plays big in big moments. I mean, people talk about last week, they were worried about Hurts. Hurts wasn't healthy. You know, can Barkley do it on his own and all that? Hurts played phenomenal last week. I mean, he ran for 3 touchdowns. He threw big passes down the field and put him right on the money when he needed to. Hurts looked phenomenal. And right now, the Eagles, they are the better team in this scenario. The Eagles are, let's just talk about their players. I mean, Hurts has competed at the highest level against Mahomes before. You could have matched him up in that first Super Bowl and say that he actually outplayed Mahomes in that Super Bowl. He was phenomenal. He's capable of doing great things. So Hurts as a QB, he's solid, no doubt about it. Then you look at the run game, the changes made there, obviously bringing Saquon in. The Chiefs don't even know who their RB1 is. Mm-hmm. They don't know if it's Hunt or Pacheco based on the other team's game plan. So they obviously got the advantage in running game, and then they got a phenomenal defense. In the trenches, they're awesome. Their D-line's awesome. Their O-line is massive. I think they got 2 O-linemen that are like 6'6", 6'7". I mean, they're just big boys. So Philly's got the more complete team. We did this before where we continue to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs continue to win games. I'm doing it again. I'm with you guys. I'm going with Philly. I'm going to be rooting for Philly. I think Philly's going to win. But I have a different spin on the final score. I think the game is going to be ugly. I really do. I think that the Chiefs' offense has kind of sputtered throughout the year, and I think playing against this Philadelphia defense, they're going to have a tough time scoring. And I think KC, with the different looks that they give you, they definitely have the coaching advantage. With Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, with that combination, they're better coaches than the Eagles. I feel like Eagles win almost despite their coaching sometimes.
I also feel like, the Eagles wide receivers are much more like they're more developed. I feel like when you look at the Chiefs wide receivers, they don't really have like a lot.
They're missing Rashee Rice, really number
young.
One.
Yeah, I mean, they're very young.
Rashee Rice was looking like he was going to be one of the top 3 wide receivers in the league.
Yeah,
this year. That's
how good
he was. That
was a huge blow to me too. He was on my fantasy.
I feel like AJ Brown's like he's kind of like a veteran guy. The Chiefs don't really have that. I think they have the fact that Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But I think it's really going to depend on Travis Kelce, because I'm not really expecting guys like Xavier Worthy or
the number 2 wide receiver for Philadelphia would be the number 1 for KC. What's his name?
Smith.
He's a Heisman winner. He's really good. I mean, he's on the small side, but he's got good hands.
But again, I'm kind of worried defensively. I mean, like when you look at the Eagles have played so well, but like they gave, I think it was like 35 points. How much did they give up to the Commanders?
No, it was like 55 to 20 something.
Oh, okay.
When you score that many points, it almost doesn't even matter how many points you give up because you're up by
so
much. But
the defense.
But the Commanders had a sneaky good offense.
Yeah.
You know, with McLaren, Robinson, and Daniels, obviously. I mean, they had a sneaky good offense.
Yeah.
So I think they could score the football.
I feel like McLaren's been waiting for a shot. I mean, his whole life bounced around different quarterbacks. Now when he finally has the talent, he just completely changes the game.
That dude's yards after the catch, man.
Yeah.
When he gets the ball on those slants in the middle of the field, he's hard to bring down. He's a stud.
Yeah.
So Washington can put up points. Look at what they hung on Detroit.
Well, to my point,
Detroit was beat up, but they can
score.
I
think for the Eagles, I think they're going to have to find ways to frustrate Patrick Mahomes. If it's forced pressure, even if it's maybe a couple flags, maybe roughing the passer. If it's not important, I feel like you just got to get him, especially early in the game, you got to get him nervous. You got to get him frustrated. And that, I think that all starts with forcing pressure and just making it tough.
The over-under on the game, I think, is 48.5. I'm taking the Eagles 20, the Chiefs 16. Mm. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. When you listen to most of the analysts, they're all going to be in that 27-24, 31-28. I think it's going to be lower scoring than that. I don't know why. I just feel Chiefs, that could change. Like, first drive of the game, I could be like, oh, I'm wrong. Like, yeah. This is going. I just think these teams are going to – I think they're going to have a tough time scoring in this Super Bowl.
If it's a low-scoring game, the Chiefs are going to win. That's not
– I can understand that because – low scoring game, but I feel like if it's a low scoring game, there's going to be a lot of big plays. It's going to come down to just grit and hard work, just motor.
No, right. Let's see if we can get the big guy on here. Let's see if we get him. He sent me his final. If he doesn't, I know his pick, but I want to see if we can get his raspy voice passed through on speakerphone to the mic. Let's see if we get him. Uncle Clay.
Yes, sir.
All right, dude. We don't know how well it's going to kind of come across on the microphone here. So all we want to know is who's winning this game, what's the final score?
I actually texted you because I didn't know if you were going to call. I'm taking the Eagles 30-27 with a last second field goal.
You're going with an LT winner,
Jake Elliott.
LT winner, and I'm going 58 plus yards.
50? Oh, you think he's gonna? I don't know, man. He don't have the leg. Yeah. You think 59-yard field goal to finish it?
59-yard and a win, 30-27 Eagles.
Who's gonna be the MVP?
The MVP is gonna be. It's always a quarterback, so the MVP of the game is gonna be Jalen Hurts.
It's 58-yard. They might as well just give it to Jake Elliott.
Although I think if Philadelphia wins, it's probably gonna have to be Barkley, but. Usually quarterback always wins the MVP.
We'll see what happens. All right, man. We just wanted to get that piece from you.
All right.
Cool. All right, bro. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. There's Uncle Clint. Our first call into the pod in 71 tries. We never piped anyone in on speakerphone. He's got 31-28.
Elliot's not making
Philadelphia 50. With a 50. We're going to say with a 58-yard field goal to close by. My prediction, when I think about the game, when I come up with this 2016, I actually think the Chiefs are going to have a chance at the end, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to need a touchdown.
No, Mahomes needs.
I know. This is what I'm saying. This is why I think this is going to go to the contrary. I think it's going to finally be a moment where Mahomes needs it. He needs the touchdown to win, and they're going to stop him. I
feel like there's going to be like a – I feel like he's gonna do something that, like you said, he's not gonna do it to win the game. But I feel like there's gonna be actually like a questionable call that maybe the refs could call, but they don't.
Interesting. I still think, and I say this, this is the way I think about sports. I still think Mahomes is the best. Mm-hmm. I don't care if KC wins 3 in a row or not. That doesn't. That's the whole thing about counting rings and all that. Football's good. There's 55 guys on a team. Okay, there's a lot of great players in NFL history that never won a Super Bowl. I don't count rings. I just look at what I see on the field, who's the best. You know, and Mahomes is the best I've ever seen. He Mahomes can do it all. Makes big plays. Mahomes, you'll see him. Mahomes during the regular season hardly runs. When the postseason comes, he runs 8 or 10 times a game and gets big yardage when he needs it.
Yeah, the
he's
thing
just
Brady didn't have that Mahomes does is the scrambling.
Right.
He's not a fast runner, but he can get out that pocket. He can make big plays out of something that looks just ruined.
And that's an element that you need now. I mean, look, if you look at the top guys outside of Joe Burrow, everybody can do it. Allen can do it. Mahomes can do it. Lamar can do it. Daniels, Caleb, the next generation, those boys can do it. And who failed this year in the postseason? The Jared Goffs. You know, the guys that can't move. The guys that their 40-yard dash is, you know, 7.5 seconds, you know, Jared Goff. Stafford, he's a gunslinger, man. You know, he's going
to
get out there.
And I mean, it was snowing in Philadelphia. How do you expect a gunslinger to, like, really, I don't know, do his thing? And it's like snow pouring snow.
You did see that the NFL finally came to their senses, did the voting correctly. Josh Allen took down the MVP, which is what I wanted to see. And you know what? I was glad that it was close because I thought Lamar deserved a lot of first-place votes too. I wanted Allen to get it. Allen has been so good for so long, and Allen's been awesome in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they can't get over the top of KC. They just can't do it, no matter what happens. But they, like, he's playing well in these games, and they're not winning. And that doesn't, to me, I don't look at Allen and be like, oh, he's a choke because he's not winning in the playoffs. Like, I think Allen could be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time when his career's over. I don't care that the team hasn't gotten it done.
When you look at
he's playing well.
Yeah, when you look at the games, I mean, they're not, like you said, they're not his fault. I mean,
the Chiefs are scoring. I mean, some of the games they've lost, they're putting up 30-plus points. If the other team is put, is that Josh Allen's fault when the team he's playing against, when his defense can't keep a team under 40? I mean, that's what I mean about football, man. It's the true team sport, and I think this year Philadelphia's got the better team. I think they got the pieces. Caden makes an interesting point about the calls because I don't know if you saw it, but we talked about it last week, the phantom flag at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So the question is, not the end of the game, but on that 4th and 5, and the question becomes there, can Caden catches that ball, what was that flag for? That's the question. That's the conspiracy.
They tried to ready.
That's the NFL conspiracy, is that flag's there. Can Cade catches that ball, now they got a call against Buffalo for something. You know, so that play doesn't continue. Because that puts them in field goal range right there.
Yeah.
That changes the whole game, obviously. They got plenty of time. They got a first down. That changes the whole
game. Something that irks me the most about those flags is the O-line to myself, a little bit of bias towards it. I always see the right tackle on the Chiefs going just a little bit too early.
You're right about this. 100%.
Every single rep, I notice it, and it really irks me because I'm like, it's just, how does he get away with it?
They let this guy jump all game, every game. And they were showing it against the Bills where you're like, this guy's pulling out early. You could see it. He's stepping back a tad early, almost. I mean, how many times do you think in a game that they're not calling it? And then once they don't call it, now, Reed's probably like, we can keep doing it.
Yeah.
If you're not, if they're not calling it, we can keep doing it. And you're right, they do it a lot. The guy does a lot. It's the same guy.
If a kid from a couch can notice it, like, why can't the refs? It just gets to a point where I feel like the NFL has to do something about this because it's an unfair advantage for D linemen because one extra step is all it takes just to completely shut you down. And this guy isn't even, he's not even all that, but it's just, the one little advantage he has makes that big of a difference, and he just keeps getting away with it, which I think is outrageous.
I've always said, obviously, a call like that throughout the game can make a difference, but I've always said the NFL should have this emergency button where the league office is watching. Not for that, but I'm just bringing it up because he mentions that. That would not be. What I'm saying is that there's these huge games. There's these huge moments. The rules don't always cover everything. And there's moments sometimes where I'm like, that cannot – the league cannot allow that to happen. The Saints versus the Rams, who's going to make it to the Super Bowl where the Saints had the game?
Well, I mean
– and the pass the egregious pass interference call.
Worst call.
Okay, worst call of all time. Like, someone in the NFL, we shouldn't be able to talk about
this. Personally,
emergency button.
I'm personally – confident that the Saints would have won that game. They would have won the Super Bowl. They're definitely the better team. I mean,
this is what I'm saying. And like those types of calls. So I'm still a proponent of this. They've implemented certain aspects of my emergency thing where certain things automatically go to the league office. Mm-hmm. They review certain things without the officials having to call for it. There's certain things like that going on, but they're still letting stuff happen. I mean, if you think Worthy at the last second touching the side of the ball where the nose hits the ground and he touches the side of it, that's a Worthy catch. Like, somebody needs to step in and be like, how do we still not know what a catch is?
I think the owner, Roger Goodell, has to, maybe after the fact, he just got to do something. I think he's incompetent. I just think he doesn't want to step in. He doesn't want to.
I think
he doesn't want to do a big role. He just wants to stay in the shadows and let it happen. Just creep behind.
I think also
on the world stage. I just hope it doesn't happen at the Super Bowl, man. Yeah. Because on the world stage, that's going
to
be
the NFL wants the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl every year. I mean, they make so much more money because of the Taylor Swift thing. It's getting pretty. It's getting pretty obvious because they advertise it so much and they show Taylor Swift in the box or if she's in whatever.
The over, there's an over under bet on her. How many times they put the camera on? 6.5.
I think
6.5 times is the over under on how many times they show Taylor Swift.
Over.
You're gonna go over.
That's way over.
Well, it depends what's going on. They don't go to her a lot if Kelsey's not doing anything. So it's like it's almost would go in line with Kelsey catches.
Kelsey's been slow this year.
Yeah, if you're thinking Kelsey's going to catch 7
get
plus
catches.
Balls,
they got no one else.
If you think Kelsey's going to catch 7 plus balls in the game, you're probably going to see Swift.
Yeah,
7
I think
he's not. Because they go to her a lot if there's a big moment and they're jumping around.
Well, they usually show her in the beginning of the game, and then they usually, if they'll show her like at the end of the game if they win.
See, for a guy like you, for youngsters like you guys, right? Taylor Swift being there, whatever, it doesn't really mean anything to you. But what you don't realize is Taylor Swift has sucked up so many generations of women from like 10 years old all the way up to my wife. And these people are like interested in football because of her.
Ridiculous.
There's like this whole audience that got picked up because the Taylor Swift was just crazy. We don't think about it because we love sports anyway.
Yeah.
But like there's people that now know about the Chiefs. Even Carrie all of a sudden will be like, are the Chiefs winning again? Are the Chiefs in it? And we're like, how do you even know the name of the team? Because she doesn't watch sports. So it all comes down to that Swift-Kelce thing. It's such a big, you know, it's such a big deal, and it does help the NFL.
I was very surprised at how Kelce really. I mean, I thought he was going to be like a crap shootout. Like he was like, he was doing nothing, and then Rice gets hurt, and now he's like a main guy.
Like, well, Kelce, they knew it. He's kind of like they almost like put him in storage.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there. Team's still got a game plan around him, but they're not really planning on making him a big part of the offense. And then as soon as Rice got hurt and Pacheco got hurt, and they needed him, all of a sudden his catches skyrocketed. And then in the postseason, the Bills, they were targeting, you know, they shut him down. They targeted him, and they knew they had to go somewhere else, and Worthy had a good game. And then at the end of the game, this is where I talk about coaching. At the end of the game, you haven't even seen Pirine. No, you haven't seen him all game. All of a sudden, the biggest play of the game, they go to Pirine on a rollout on a third down and get a first down. That's all Andy Reid. That dude comes up with stuff. There might be some guy in this game that you haven't seen catch three balls all year for the Chiefs, and he makes a big play in
you
that game.
You also got to look out for the back-to-back game-winning touchdown play that they've drawn up 2 years in a row. The same play they've had have been that little screen, little slash right.
They're prepared, right? Last year, if you think about what happened to finish the game with the touchdown to win the Super Bowl, there was an element to that that people weren't realizing, which was the other team didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. They, like the Chiefs
that's
knew.
Coaching. Was that
that's what I'm saying. The Chiefs knew that they could run that clock out. Mm-hmm. The other team, no one else knew what was going on, including me as a fan. I'm like, the clock's running out. What you didn't realize was that's just going to extend
was
to the next
game
overtime.
Was that the game we passed of Valdez Scantling?
Yes. Yeah. So the it was
Hardman.
It was Hardman. Yeah, it was Hardman. So at the end of that game, if you remember watching, the clock's running out, and no one's understanding, like, why aren't they calling a timeout? Whatever. You don't realize that you can let the clock run
out. Wait, were they down?
I think it was. It must have been
tied.
It must have been tied. Yeah, because. But what I'm saying, like, we thought the game was. I don't know what. I got to think back. I got to look back. I can't remember what the thought process was, but we were confused on why they weren't using timeouts and so forth. Oh, you know what it is? They get to finish their drive no matter what.
Yeah.
So even though they were losing, I think, by a field goal, they get to finish the drive. We thought the game was ending, but no, they get possession no matter what. So it just goes. They get to continue the possession into the next overtime because they didn't finish their possession. Mm-hmm. They get to finish their possession. It was like a rule that, like, I don't even think the other team understood it.
No, they didn't.
And they essentially won the game out. So that's when I'm only mentioning it because the Chiefs are prepared for, like, all these parts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The players are aware of it. The coaches make sure that they know these little intricate details that, quite frankly, lesser teams, like the Bears, for example.
Yeah.
You know, how many guys on the Bears know that rule? I mean, you wouldn't believe how many football players, professional football players, do not know the rules of the game. Like, they don't know. Like, I was listening to a podcast the other day where a pro NFL player says, yeah, when they miss a field goal, it goes to the 20, right?
Mm.
No. It goes
to
where you...
Why would they want it? Like, why are they supposed to know?
That's your sport. You're a professional. You're an NFL football player. You don't know where the ball goes after a field goal miss?
Mm. I don't know.
Like... You watch the game. You don't know. That's why you don't try long field goals that you don't think you can make because if you miss them, they get the ball. It's not high school football. They get the ball right on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to kick it from the 58 and you miss it, they get the ball at the 58. That's why you see punters come out. If it went to the 20, you'd see a lot more guys attempting long field goals. So my point being is you'd be surprised at how many NFL players don't even know what's going on out there. Teams like the guys like Belichick. The guys like Reed, the guys like McVay, those coaches make sure that their teams are prepared for every little intricate detail.
But for high school football, why do you even punt if you just, if it just goes to 20?
High school football, there's High school football, if you miss the field goal, it goes to.
But if you punt it, it can go anywhere.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
so there's a decision to make. Like, if I don't know if you watched LT's varsity, they kept kicking
the
field goals.
ESPN, they called it
the Sports Center
Max for the weird punt. But
exactly. That's pretty much what it was. It was a weird way to punt.
Because we had no punters.
Right.
We had punters, but they weren't good. So we'd rather just have AJ boot it.
Right. Yeah. It made sense. I mean, when you looked at the way the rule was, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyway, we are going to. We all got Philly.
Mm-hmm.
We got different scores, different stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Fly Eagles, fly. We're moving on.
Mm-hmm. I just hope the refs don't. Oh, sorry. Wait.
No, all right. It's supposed to be pause for sound effect, Caden. We are. Wait, go ahead. Tell your refs thing. Go ahead.
I just said that.
I don't want to call it to ruin the game.
Well, like, yeah, I'm just spending on to you. I just hope that I'm kind of expecting the refs to give Chiefs an edge, but I'm just hoping that that it does not cost them the game and that the Eagles do not really get frustrated. Because we've seen, I mean, you saw the Texans in the locker room there. I think Joe Mixon got fined, like, a lot because he said something about the refs. Like, people are actually, like, getting frustrated now.
I don't even want to bring up the Joe Mixon thing. It was so ridiculous. He got fined for something he didn't say. And then when he came out to say he didn't say it, they fined him for coming. It was just something stupid like that. So, can I say it?
Yeah.
We're moving on. All right. NBA trades. The NBA doesn't make it on to the show a lot until playoff time. Mm-hmm. We don't talk a ton. Yeah, sometimes we'll throw out a prediction and things like that.
The next podcast, my Chicago Sports Corner is coming back on.
Chicago Sports Corner gets to come back post-Super Bowl because Caden wants it. And I don't know. Again, I imagine a few people want to hear the Chicago Sports Corner, but I don't know how many. The bottom line here is that there was some splash stuff that went down in the NBA since the last pod. No, but this was – I don't think people really realize how big the Luka trade is. Luka Doncic is a top three player in the game right now. I basically put him only behind Jokic and Giannis. And keep in mind, of those three, he's by far the youngest. Mm-hmm. Luka's like 25. I mean, an out-of-shape Luka you still want. Like, this guy...
He still put up 40 at 260.
This guy is a phenomenal player, and the fact that the Mavericks did not talk to any other teams. This is the old Laker, and LeBron's there. I like the Lakers. I want them to win games, I'll be honest with you. But at the same time, the Lakers have pulled this stuff time and time again. Out of nowhere, if you guys don't remember this, but out of nowhere they landed Shaq. Everybody thought Shaq loved Orlando. They thought he was going to stay. Next thing you know, Shaq's in L.A. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant is lost on an L.A. team that can't win. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, they land Pau Gasol. And Pau Gasol and Kobe go on and win a couple titles because Pau Gasol was one of the top big men in the league at that time, and they land him out of nowhere.
And then they got those role players, too, like Wu Alldang.
Right, but what I'm saying is that they pick up big players out of nowhere. Like, you don't see it coming. Mm. And
I mean, they're the Lakers.
People would talk about the Lakers and go, who do they have a chance to get this year? Mm. And nobody had any inclination that it's going to be the Lakers have the ability to get Luka. Nothing about the deal makes sense. Like, Luka had a Supermax coming. Mm. By going to L.A., he's missing out on like $100 million. Like, no part of this makes any sense. Mm. Luka would have stayed with Dallas and been happy with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luka Doncic going to L.A., this is groundbreaking. Go ahead, man.
And also, like, I understand that, like, with LeBron and Luka, that's big. But also, I mean, I think it didn't really make sense for L.A. because they're giving up Anthony Davis, and they don't have no center. And again, L.A. made moves. Now they have a center.
They knew they were going to make a move for a center.
But again, I think it really doesn't make sense for – Dallas, but also I think you gotta understand, like, LA, they don't like that they're just being like mid. Like, the Bulls, right. They don't care because they're the Bulls, but LA, they're like, they're from Los Angeles. Like, they have to be like, I don't think they like that they're a 500 team and they went out and did something. And also kind of felt like the Clippers were kind of like taking over with like building a new stadium. You know, it kind of seems like they're taking over. Now the Lakers, now they have a chance to really like
something. LA is such a draw, you know? I mean, it's such a draw for these guys to be able to go there. The NBA season's mainly a lot over the winter. These guys got 70-degree weather. It's showtime. It's LA.
Have you seen the new Clippers stadium?
I haven't looked at it, but I'm just saying, like, there's just something about LA Lakers basketball that just sucks guys
in.
I hate
their stadium.
For example, the Bulls don't have it. The Bulls can't get guys here. Like, LA can just draw the big time talent.
And to get
a top three guy in the league in his prime, unheard of.
Start of the season, we were thinking about, I was thinking about personally, they were going to trade for an elite big, you know, because you have people like Anthony Davis. Who's playing power or playing center? Usually, power forward. Boys gets concerned about how he can't keep doing this. Like, he was fed up to the point.
He wants to play the four, basically. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's where he wants to be. Is AD? He's not a center. AD typically, if you look at his career, he has a very difficult time staying healthy. Mm-hmm. He's on the. If you watch the games, even when he's healthy, he gets injured three times per game in the game.
And I think,
just watch a Laker game, or now a Dallas game. But on the Lakers, you'd watch the game and be like, has AD ever like not had to go to the sideline for some sort of injury during the game? It's and crazy. Also, I would not want him.
Also,
because
I
of
feel
that.
Like you got to get something with Luka. He might be like, and I think the Mavericks were also concerned about his weight hurt. But also, like, Luka never gets hurt. Like, he's always in the Mavericks.
He's hurt right now.
Well, yeah, but like,
no, I know what you're saying.
He's very reliable, he's especially durable. In the playoffs. But the Mavericks right now, I mean, they just traded their best player. They cannot afford for AD to get hurt.
No.
Like, I don't know too much about the Mavericks.
I think about AD, and I think it frustrated LeBron, too. And obviously, AD and LeBron were close, so he would never say this publicly. But LeBron really wanted AD to take over that team. He really did. He wanted AD to be Giannis. He wanted AD to be Jokic. LeBron wanted that. LeBron doesn't want to be playing 38 minutes a night. He's over 40 years old, and he's still playing 35, 36 minutes. He just dropped 42 and 17 last night. I mean, LeBron still can do it, but he doesn't want to have to do it on that level, particularly in the regular season. So with AD, it's just I don't think they ever got the consistency out of AD that the Lakers really wanted. And when I say consistency, AD popped into this season – he was going 30 and 14 like nightly at the beginning of this season. And you're like, oh, is this the AD we've been waiting for? Is this the AD that's going to take control of this league and be the number one guy instead of LeBron kind of having to carry the load there? And then sure enough, he went back to this inconsistent. You can just check the box scores. One game, AD's 37 and 14. And the next game, he's 12 and 11. Like, it just
– still double.
Yeah, but we're talking about the top guys in the league. Like, what? Look at Jokic's stat lines on a night-in, night-out basis.
Yeah.
You don't see him just phantom disappear. And AD does it all the time. And, like, the Lakers need it. And, like, when Luka's healthy, LeBron's going to have a running mate that's going to play 36, 38 minutes a night. Yeah. And he's going to put up 30.
It's just now – I mean,
it's going to be consistent.
Now you got to – now it's just the Lakers with LeBron. Now they just have to, they have to keep going hot until Luka can come back. Put Luka in a good position. Put LeBron in a good position where LeBron doesn't have to play as much, and leave it up to Luka to just, you know, carry them to the end of the race
and not have to. Yeah, you want the Lakers want to be in a spot where they don't have to fight through the play in and all that. Like, they need to get themselves in the top six.
I feel like, like you said, Luka's like not gonna. He's gonna force LeBron to now step down. LeBron's still gonna have to play a big role, but not the number one. I think that's gonna be important. But also, I feel like I forgot what I was gonna say.
LeBron's just letting Luka know right now. By the way, hey Luka, like if you need me, I got you. I'm gonna go drop 42 tonight.
Yeah, I also
drop 42. I'm gonna get 17 rebounds, 8 assists.
I feel like
I can still
LeBron
do it.
LeBron is actually. He said on interviews like he doesn't want to. Like, he's not gonna. He said on interviews he does not want to play like for like. He's like 5 more years, like maybe not even that. But then he said, I feel like being the number one, him being the number one player, I feel like that's the reason why he does not want to play for so much longer, is because he's worried that he's going to continue to be the number one player. If he's the number two or number three player, who knows? He can play for, he said his body can play, or yeah, he said something like his body can, he can play for 5 more years, but he just doesn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, baseline to baseline, he's still got burst.
If he was
man.
A guy that he could just, like, contribute there and there, I think he could play for 5-6 more years. But at least if he's with the Lakers, he's going to be the number one or number two guy.
His biggest fall-off has been defensively. LeBron just doesn't have the endurance to be able to go, you know, nonstop and play hard defense all game. He can still do it offensively. He can still pass. He can still rebound. But the Lakers really struggle defensively. Luka's not a very good defender, but he's a big body. They brought in this center from Charlotte who's like, I think he's like 16 and 10. That's who they traded for. They got rid of Kanak. They got rid, you know, their number one draft pick from this past
this
year.
Is a very,
their first round draft pick.
I like that dude from Charlotte.
He's solid. Like, they brought some size in. And, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to Bronny James. Yeah. Kidding.
Past two games, that center actually.
Yeah,
they're
going to be all right, I think. The Lakers could be tough here. But they defensively, can they, you know, can they keep teams under 115 points a game?
That guy's been averaging almost a double-double.
Yeah, right. He's
season,
right. Yep.
So he's
100%.
Kind of been, like, maybe underappreciated. So you didn't see his name popping up at all until we realized, oh, we got traded to the Lakers. What's this guy been doing? Why would they want to trade for him? You see, this guy's a stud.
I agree with you. I agree. This could be a huge move for the Lakers. They, you know, they needed size. They figured out a way to go get it. And now let's see what happens. The Lakers made moves again at the deadline, and they should have a chance to make a move here. Going to the next one, for me, the next biggest trade was Fox. I thought Fox going to
that
the Spurs.
That was in the Levine trade.
Yes, it was. It was in. That was a three-way trade. But I'll tell you right now, I mean, the Spurs, you've seen the growth from last year to this year. They're still not like a top team in the West or whatever. But
Fox
Wemby looks like the real deal. Mm-hmm. Wemby looks like a guy that if he could stay healthy within, I would say as early as next season, but probably give him one more year after that. So his fourth year, he's going to be a guy in the top three. Really will be. He's got all the skills, man. I mean, he's awesome.
I think the Spurs are just missing one more key piece, and I think they'll finally have that team they've been rebuilding for all this time. I mean, Fox is
a player.
Ginormous. He's a baller.
Yeah.
He can hoop. Wemby, I think he's already proven himself. He can do it all. He's like he's like a Swiss Army knife.
They need like the guys the Nuggets have, like where you throw in a Michael Porter, a guy that can drop like 30 on you out of nowhere, a guy like that. You know, they need those role players and figure it out. If Pop's still there, they got the coaching staff.
Pop's still coaching?
I think so.
He took a break.
But I think he's still technically their coach,
yeah,
I believe,
sick,
right? Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was sick or something.
I mean, Pop was on his way out in terms of he's getting old and stuff, but when he starts thinking about, hey, I got Wemby in his prime, mm-hmm. Pop will probably roll with it if he's healthy enough till Wemby's like 27, 28. Get through Wemby's prime, and then he'll probably exit at that point. But you got to think the Spurs are setting up something special there. And then the other side of that was, first of all, I can't figure out why the Kings couldn't get that together. I mean, they got Sabonis, they had Fox, they got Murray. I mean, they got players over there, and like Fox just wasn't happy there. They couldn't figure it out. And then they picked up from the Bulls, they got DeRozan, and then they made this trade for LaVine. And I will tell you, as a Bulls fan with Caden, LaVine's a good player. And I was happy that the Bulls were able to draw a star, not a superstar. They were able to at least bring a star player to Chicago who's an all-star, and he can put up some numbers and all that. But LaVine is not like – he's not a franchise changer. He's just not. I mean, I've watched him play. There are games where you can say, hey, LaVine's the best player on the floor tonight. Mm. Absolutely. He could do that for the Bulls.
Well, he was playing
not
more,
night in and night out.
He was playing more consistent this year. Like, he was playing more, and he was on the floor. That's also
right.
Important.
Healthy. I really like him. I think he's a good dude. I think he was good for
also,
Chicago.
I'm not sure what
I mean, but he's not a franchise.
I actually like the DeRozan-LaVine combo, but didn't the Kings see in Chicago? Like, they were not very good together.
What is this, Bulls 2023 2.0? Like, putting LaVine and DeRozan back on the floor together. I mean, when LaVine came off the floor last year for the Bulls, they played their best basketball of the year. Their younger guys had to step up. Kobe White had his best season ever. I mean, again, Sacramento's just going to do what the Bulls do. They're just going to float around in the middle of the West. I shouldn't say the middle. When I say middle, I'm talking about a play-in at best. And that's what the Bulls are. The Bulls are a play-in at best. Now they've gutted their team, the Bulls. And now they're looking to get themselves in the flag sweepstakes, right? Wasn't that the move for the Bulls to get in the Cooper
they're
flag?
They're still probably going to make the
sweepstakes.
They're still probably.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They're going to fall apart, dude. They're not going to do it. They want to get in the lottery.
Billy Donovan also wants to keep his job.
I don't know. I think they're trying to make a play. And I think this is a tank move.
You don't have to be over 500 to make the play in. They're not going to get Cooper.
I'm making the prediction. I know you want to watch them the rest of the year and sit in front of that TV and get upset because they can't defend. They got layup line
no
down
team
there.
Can defend.
Vucevic layup line, go right by him, layup all day. The guy can score, but he's defensively.
Vucevic drops like 30 a game. Like,
he should
drop
be 30 a game.
The Bulls at least have one all star. I'm not sure neither LaVine or Vucevic get all star. Like,
but Bouzelis, he wasn't getting enough opportunities when LaVine was there. These changes are going to get more opportunities for a guy who's
awesome.
I think
good.
He's a good player. He had a great game the other night. That'll be cool.
Actually, he's kind of skinny. He's like kind of fragile.
Yeah, but he's a rook, dude. He's small. He'll grow into
he's
his
He's got to get bigger.
He can dunk it. He's athletic. I like him. The third trade, by my estimation, just happened.
Middleton and Kuzma?
No. What is Milwaukee doing? Kuzma's awful.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Kuzma, we were at a Wizards-Bulls game this year, and I told Tom, I said, just watch Kuzma. Oh, this guy's a disgrace. Mr. Panos is like, he goes, this guy's just collecting a paycheck. I said, just watch him up and down the floor. He's lazy. He's a
Have
bad
you seen
shooter.
His shorts are like down to his knees.
Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee, I lost respect right there. Keep Middleton.
Kuzma,
what are you doing?
The only thing Middleton needs to fix is his teeth. Have you seen his teeth?
What is Kirk?
His teeth, his teeth are messed up. Nah, you need to see his teeth.
Let's see. Well, what's he need? Orthodontist work?
I'll try to look up Middleton's teeth. They're
anyway,
really
the
bad.
Bottom line with Middleton is...
Balls is a lie.
Look, Middleton helped that team win a title alongside Giannis a few years back. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like he deserved better than that. Like, for me, to bring in... I mean, Milwaukee's done this a couple times now, right? Last year, they let go of Holiday. And Holiday ended up on Boston. He was like a game changer for Boston last year. So you look at that. Now they let go of Middleton, who's another veteran guy. And you know what? I wouldn't be down on it if for the fact that I didn't watch Kyle Kuzma play. Kyle Kuzma's awful. I don't. He's one of those guys that I would walk. I heckle him at the Bulls games. I heckle him all the time.
I'm sure he can hear you.
Well, we were pretty close.
Yeah.
He's gonna give it to Kuz. I just kept saying, give it to Kuz. Help the Bulls out. Every time he got the ball, he did something dumb.
There's,
it's not just like
10,000
like
other people
stuff.
Talking. I'm sure they can hear you.
Every time
Kuzma yelled at me after the game. Yeah. Look back at me. We had a little thing.
Every time I see him get signed, this dude's always getting like crazy deals, like 300 million. Like, what did he do to deserve this? What has he done?
It just shows you how the NBA has gotten crazy with their money. Mm. They're just giving big checks out to dudes that can't play.
It's getting like MLB money.
It's insane. I mean, these guys, like, if you look at the type of money Kuzma's being paid, it's ridiculous. And then you see what you get, the effort you get on the floor from that guy. Mm-hmm. He's literally just like, pay me, and I'm just going to sit over here and smile and joke around with my buddies on the bench.
Paychecks like that just really annoy me. Like, NBA paychecks, you can be, darn close to being a billionaire. Well, you have elite guys in other sports. Their whole career earnings is an average guy's yearly salary in the NBA.
Right, and their career length, like in the NFL, is the average career length in the NFL is less than 4 years.
I've seen something
it's like 3.5 years.
Where Connor McDavid, most elite NHL player right now, $85 million career earnings. And someone like Kyle Kuzma is making that in like a year and a half. It doesn't transfer. They're
no, it
paid.
Doesn't. No, you're right. You're right. The NBA's salaries, I've
I feel like
years, totally
NHL
out of line.
Needs to get. I mean, I would never want to be a hockey player. That's
tough.
Unless you're being paid millions of dollars to do what you love, play a sport. You know what I mean? And that's
when
you're in a lucky seat. That's why a guy like Kuzma bothers me is because when you're lucky enough to do what you love and get paid for it, and you can't get out there and give 100% effort when that franchise has invested in you, that bothers me. And I just don't see him as a guy that gives his all.
See, dudes in the NHL, they love what they do. People like Kyle Kuzma, they loved it, and now they love the money.
It's true. No, you're
I
right.
Like the money, too.
Trade number three.
Jimmy Butler.
Is the Butler trade. So
that's a pretty good trade.
These are the only ones I really – for me, these are the ones I want to talk about. There's other stuff that happened, but – Butler to
it's
the
not really to be honest.
Butler
what are the Warriors
to the,
hopes of making the postseason right now?
They are. Man. They started hot, then they've been tanking recently. Mm-hmm. So this is a move to try to get them on track. They could. I think they'll fall. They should fall into the play-in range
for sure. I feel like the addition of Jimmy Butler. You know, he's always a slow guy in the regular season. So it's feel like if they can get over that hump, you know, Jimmy Butler being whatever after having his diva moment at Miami, not playing. If they can make it to the postseason. Jimmy Butler is going to be electric. He's always been that guy in the postseason. He's going to continue to be that guy in the postseason. I mean, I feel like he's doing it all by himself when Miami made the finals that year.
He's kind of a head case, though. Like
he is, yeah. He was doing stupid stuff to get out of Miami. Mm-hmm. But he could ramp it up in the postseason, no doubt. And they're trying to get somebody alongside Steph there because Steph – I was talking to Caden about this earlier. People are starting to get this – skewed vision of what these players can be because of what LeBron's doing. Mm-hmm. People are not—they're not going to do what LeBron's doing.
Well, Steph can last long because he can shoot.
Steph has to move a lot to get open. Mm-hmm. You're already seeing a slight decline in his. You're starting to see the decline in Steph, and I think it happens more abruptly for smaller players. And I think Steph obviously has already had a really nice long career, but I don't think you're not going to see Steph scoring 25 a game like LeBron.
Well, if you got a guy like Jimmy Butler, I think you could be fine because.
Oh, I think Butler's a big help for them. I don't think the Warriors are good enough to do much more than maybe make the play in and hopefully make it into the final playoff there. But again, it's a good move for them. They had to do something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at a guy like Steph. You got a Hall of Fame player, greatest shooter of all time, top 20, probably a top. Yeah, I would say maybe even a top 15 player of all time. I'd have to map it out. Maybe better.
Is he
than
also
that.
A shooter?
Steph could be top 10. I mean, I'd have to map out my players and give you a list, but Steph is awesome, and he's the greatest shooter ever.
And then a guy like
his time's running out. Mm-hmm. So Golden State's going, hey, look, we got rid of Clay. We got to let this guy, you know, we got to get something here for Steph and try to help him win right now.
So I'm going to feel like Jimmy Butler, you know, he's that guy, and Miami wanted to, you know, just get rid of him because he was begging for it, and I feel like they got decent trade value. Andrew Wiggins, he's a solid player.
Yeah. Wiggins is solid.
He can do.
Wiggins is like a good second guy. I don't think he can be a first, though. Like, Miami doesn't really have, like, any, like, guy who could take over a game.
Well, Bam is a good player.
Mm-hmm. Bam, but he's kind of decreased. He hasn't really, like.
He hasn't hit that next level. Like, I think they thought he was going to hit the next level.
If you're wondering, the Bulls are taking on the Warriors tomorrow.
And Butler maybe.
Yeah, Butler's playing tomorrow.
Butler going to be playing. All right, cool. I'm looking forward to the first time. I want to see LeBron and Luka play together. Mm-hmm. I think that'll just be interesting because they're very similar.
I heard Luka was like a mess. Like, he was like crying and stuff.
Luka was very surprised. I think there's a telltale sign on Instagram where you saw after they won the Western Conference finals last year.
Yeah, they took
a beer.
And he
had the beer.
I was confused.
This guy that traded him took the beer out of his hand. And what that showed was that showed that there's a lot that we don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something with the team thinks he has a drinking problem. There's something. I'm serious. There's something we don't know. When you're celebrating after a game mm-hmm. with a single beer in your hand and your GM comes out and takes it out of your hand and you kind of give a look, there's undertones there that there's a lot that us as fans we have.
Yeah, because it was kind of like a serious look. Like
it was very serious. So there's other things between the franchise and Luka. Obviously, the franchise did not think that they could turn it around. Mark Cuban is probably losing his mind because he gave up control of that mm-hmm. team when he sold his.
He said he'd rather divorce his wife than trade Luka.
Losing his mind. And you give up control, man. You're not the big dog in town anymore. That's it.
Places where Luka's from, I mean, they're known to be pretty big drinkers. I wouldn't be surprised if he was heavy, you know, heavy on the beer.
I don't care. He's going to the
his
NBA
body
finals.
Type looks like he's having a few too many.
If he does good, I wouldn't care if he drinks or not.
Well, there's you make a valid point from the standpoint that if this guy can still go perform and then have a few beers at night or whatever. But what I'm saying is the team has some type of ongoing dialogue with him about issues with staying in shape. About issues of drinking too much.
But
they have some sort of ongoing dialogue with him that we don't know about that led to this, right? I mean, it had to have. He's a top. You don't let NBA players in their prime leave your franchise. You just don't do it. You do not do it. I mean, this guy's one of the best players in the league. So there's other things we don't know. We don't know why they did it. But even with all that being said, how do you not go talk to every team in the league and see what you can get?
Yeah.
I mean, did you just want Anthony Davis that bad? I'm sorry. I think AD's a great player. I think he's got all the talent in the world. But if I'm going to the league, there's a very short list of dudes I'm trading Luka for. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably maybe the one and only guy. Mm. Because Giannis is still young. He's younger than Jokic. There's a little bit too many years on Jokic for me to make that trade. But you're talking one for one. The only guy I'm trading Luka for is Giannis. That's it. In the whole league. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're thinking doing that. I just think it's...
Were they like really desperate for
it's
like
the most surprising thing I've seen.
Were they like desperate for a center? Don't they have a...
Who cares about a center? They gave up their best player.
The Lakers didn't have a center.
They gave up their best player, dude.
I'm just saying, maybe they... I don't know.
They didn't give up their best player. They gave up... Arguably, let's be honest, arguably the best player in the league. I mean, I like Jokic and Giannis ahead of him, but you could argue that Luka's the best player.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, are they having a good season?
Dallas?
Yeah.
I don't know what their record is. I'd have to look it up. I mean, it's not – Luka hasn't been playing. I'd imagine they're hovering below just below 500 if I had to guess. I'd just throw that out there. I'm not sure. Look it up and see.
I like
it was a fun trade deadline nonetheless. They thought KD was going to move again. KD's classic because KD's just trying to latch on somewhere where he can win a title. Thought Phoenix was going to be it. It wasn't it. He's just not. KD's having a tough time. He can't be the one. He can't be the number one anymore.
I like this trade for Luke. You know, LeBron wanting to step down a little bit more and like not guys like Klay Thompson and Kyrie still in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, guys like Kyrie and Klay. I mean, this could be a big moment. Get more minutes, get more points, shine way more, show them what they missed out on. Especially for me personally, he's on my fantasy basketball team. which I fell asleep through the draft. And now I'm getting my hopes up coming back from injury. He's going to get way more minutes, way more opportunities.
So, yeah, no, you're right. That it changes stuff. Yeah, Dallas has guys now. They got guys like a Kyrie who used to be there was a time in his career where he can go for 30 a night, right? Mm-hmm. So what's he got left in the tank? Mm-hmm. And Klay, there was a time in his life where he was 24, 25 a game, shooting up threes, doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Does he have anything left in the tank? Mm-hmm. And then AD, who, you know, is kind of like seems a little older than maybe his age says, because mm-hmm. I think he's only like 30, maybe, mm-hmm. 30, 31. But he plays maybe more like he's 35, 36 type of thing. Dallas, what's he got left? So Dallas, I mean, Dallas is not a bad team. Mm-hmm. I don't think
on paper.
You give them AD that if they're healthy, they're not a bad team. Mm-hmm. But you still don't give up mm-hmm. arguably the best player in the league in his prime.
They just got to figure it out. I mean, Dallas is living like one big midlife crisis. Like they have stars who are shadows of what they used to be. It's just like you see these names and like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you see these names, you'd be like, it's got to be the greatest team of all time. And now it's just like, these guys are they're average.
Yeah. The NBA, man, it changes fast. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're, like I say, people are falling into a trap of seeing a LeBron James this old and thinking, other guys are not doing this, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, other guys, you see NBA players get into their mid-30s and they're like done. I mean, they're done. They're a shadow of what they used to be. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to see for most guys. And KD's even played a long time. And you're going to start seeing that with KD with his body type. And he's such a freak scorer with the way he is on the court and his length and his athleticism. But again, as soon as that athleticism starts to slip, he's not going to be able to do it anymore. And you're going to start to see his numbers start to slide. And these are the guys, these are the freaks that are doing it later in age. Mm-hmm. Most guys can't make it. I am too. I thought KD after that Achilles, I didn't think he was going to be able to come back and still score. What was that?
Real slender guy. I mean,
oh, yeah. No, right. Yeah.
Something really hard to bounce back to, especially that big and skinny.
Yeah. I thought KD, and he came back, and he, you know what he is? He's one of the best offensive players you'll ever see.
What team did he play for right now?
It's on Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Phoenix was supposed to have a blockbuster trade, mm-hmm. end up not happening. They end up moving, what's his name? Jurkic? What was their center's name?
Joseph Nurkic?
No, Nurkic, maybe. Yeah, he moved. They made a trade yesterday. Phoenix did. It wasn't what everybody, you know, everybody thought KD would move.
People like Devin Booker.
Yeah, they thought maybe Booker, KD, somebody. They end up not doing anything. Phoenix has got a mess over there. Yeah. Yeah, what sunk them is that Beal deal. They thought Beal, the big three,
Beal was gonna get traded.
Booker, Beal, KD, and Beal just looks like he's happy to be in Arizona. He's just happy for warm weather. Yeah, he's enjoying his time over there, collecting his paycheck. He's got a little Kyle Kuzma feel to him.
But when he was in D.C., he had to grind for it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you watch Beal in D.C., he looked like one of the best guards in the league. When Beal was teamed up with Wall, that was like, holy, look at these guys.
John Wall.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened to him. Did he ever retire?
John Wall is the perfect example of what can happen when you don't come back from injuries. That guy had one of the quickest first steps you've ever seen in the NBA.
Yeah, I miss John
so
Wall.
Shifty.
Yeah, oh, God. He
guys
was
like Kemba Walker, too.
But it can happen.
Kemba Walker's like so small, though.
Just like that, man. You have an injury, something changes, and your NBA career has changed forever.
Has John Wall ever retired? Like, I thought he's still...
I don't know.
I feel like I heard that he retired. Yeah. Like a random announcement on time. Are you looking this up?
Yeah, because I swear I've never seen
the last thing we'll have for the pod tonight is a random John Wall retirement notice. Is that what
he's pretty small too. Like,
yeah.
He's like 6'3", playing the shooting guard. And having to come off those injuries, being that shift, I don't think you can do it anymore at that size, especially, you know, everyone's just getting taller and skinnier. It's getting easier to defend people like John Wall.
John Wall has not officially retired as a player, but he has not played since January 13th, 2023.
Okay, yeah, he's done.
But
D-Rose was a good example of that. I mean, D-Rose had Westbrook-type explosiveness, and when he tore his ACL, he never came back with the same type of explosiveness. He still had a successful career in the NBA, but he was never the player he was when he was with the Bulls in his first few seasons.
It's just crazy. The coaching, man. The coaching really made me angry. Who was the coacher? Was it Thibodeau?
Tibbs, man. Yeah,
Tibbs. Tibbs. He was all about just hard work. Like, you got to earn it. Even though they were up by just...
Spoken like a true young guy here, just, man. They don't up, like a coach grinding
were,
on you.
They were up against the Bucks. Huge margin. Keep the starters out there. Don't give a secondary try. And then you just... That coaching like that... hard-minded thinking just leads to just waste, a waste.
My brother thought Tibbs pushed him too hard, too. I personally was a fan of Tibbs. I just thought, because I'll tell you why. It's because he's old school, man. Like, they bring these, now these kids come out of college. Everybody, they're getting catered to their whole life. Yeah. Their whole life.
And that's why they like Josh Hart. That's why I like Josh Hart.
Now the coach has got to treat them like little babies. You know what I mean? And Tibbs was like, no, I'm going to coach you like a college team. I'm going to coach you like, we're going to push you. We're going to play defense. Tibbs is still a successful coach in the league. He's coaching the Knicks now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, he coaches teams. He gets guys to play hard for them, and they win. The knock on him was with the Bulls. He was running dudes, you know, hey, you're my best player, you're playing.
Yeah, that's what happened last year with Josh Hart. Like, he played him so much.
You're 100% right. He pushed Hart. He will do it. Tibbs has been known to do it. But again, at the end of the day, from a Knicks perspective, that's why the Knicks made it as far as they did, because Tibbs was pushing these guys as far as he could push them. These guys are making millions of dollars. Tibbs is like, earn it. That's it. Now, the argument with D. Rose was that when he tore his ACL, they were up 12 with like 1:07 left against Philly in the playoffs, I think. It was, you'd have to look back at the numbers on it, but it was
12 is not like,
they were up. It was back in the day when 12 was more than it is today.
I feel like you gotta push the guys yourself something to prove more than Derrick Rose, who already had hopes of being one of the best point guards of all time. You gotta push the dudes yourself something to prove. With a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, you know.
His injury was just unfortunate, man. I mean, at the end of the day, a guy like Rose that plays with that type of burst and that type of style, he was probably going to tear an ACL at some point.
Yeah.
Well, same thing happened to Westbrook. But Westbrook was able to come back from it and still have the explosiveness, and Rose wasn't. Every athlete's different.
I feel like Paul Skeens is going to have Tommy John.
Oh, of course he will. I mean, at some point, yeah.
He throws so hard, and like he's like somebody. He's kind of like a 2C movement.
Dude's a monster. Well, let's not jump onto baseball because we'll be talking all night. We just hit the hour.
So I'm sorry, I haven't eaten anything.
I think the thing about Rose, what killed his explosiveness, was being out of Chicago. You see him go to the Knicks. You see him just completely fall off. Even after the ACL tears. In Chicago, 2015, dude was hooping, you know, that one buzzer beater that had, I don't remember. I could show it to you like that.
I know what you're talking about, where he hit it off the glass. Rose was, it's hard for Bulls fans, man, because, like, we had the guy.
He loved being there.
Yeah, we had the guy, and the Bulls had it with Jay, you know, they, like, if you remember Jay Williams, he before his motorcycle accident, that dude was super explosive.
Yeah.
And it's like, we had our guy. Tough break. D. Rose had our guy. Tough break. Like, the Bulls just, you know, can Buzelis, can we get lucky and land flag? Because the Bulls,
we're not gonna land
Chicago flag. Cannot, this has been since MJ and Pippen, the Bulls cannot bring a superstar here. We can't do it. We've had chances, like, we had a chance at LeBron when we had Rose and Boozer and Noah. We couldn't get LeBron.
Saquon Barkley was this close to signing with the Bears. Did you see
I didn't say the Bears, I feel
no,
like.
No, I heard Saquon Barkley was like.
I think it's a big Chicago problem. I was going to say something baseball.
It's a big problem, but it's mainly, I'm telling you, it's mainly for the Bulls. The Bears, at least they could go get a DJ Moore. They could go get players. The Bears were able
to play for the Bulls.
The Bears were able to go get the number one coaching prospect out there this year. Yeah. He was the guy everybody wanted. I mean, outside of Rabel, Williams was the next guy. So. I've screwed this guy. He's got the most basic name.
Ben Johnson.
He's got the same name as the steroid sprinter from the 1988 Olympics or whatever. And I want to call him Ben Williams or something. I don't know. Ben Johnson was the number two coach. And the Bears, he came to Chicago. The Bears have that type of mystique in the league, their original franchise, the whole thing. But the Bulls, I mean, we're going on, what, like 25, 30 years since we've been able to bring a superstar to that team? That's crazy. We've done it through the draft, but other teams bring them. How you think the Lakers got LeBron? How you think, you know, a lot of these teams get their stars? They pay them, and they want to go to these places to play. How can Chicago not have that?
The Bulls, they're always like these in-between superstar to average guys. You know, like DeMar DeRozan, he was always great, but he was never
– That's who they're stuck with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What I mean by that is they can't go get Kawhi in his prime. The way that, like, the Raptors got Kawhi in his prime for a couple of years. Like, why can't we grab a guy like that, a superstar in his prime for 3 or 4 years? Why haven't we been able to do it for 25 years?
The Bulls are always left over with, like, the crumbs of free agency.
Yeah. Totally. 100%. I agree. And I just don't see it changing, and that's frustrating as a fan.
They did sign Lonzo Ball. Re-signed.
Well, I mean, he's been out for like 2 years.
Yeah, but he's playing well. Dude,
don't even bring this up. The Lonzo Ball trade, we got damaged
goods. LeVar was always right.
We got damaged goods with him right out of the gate. The guy was damaged, and somehow he comes to Chicago. How did we let that trade happen when we got a guy that couldn't play for 3 years?
Yeah, was LeVar always right?
Barely started.
No, LeVar's wrong about everything, other than the fact that
Lonzo's back, LaMelo's a top 20 player, and his brother and LiAngelo has a big time song. Like,
so what's he right about?
And his players are like big time succeeders in life.
Lonzo's not a big time. He's a role player. He can play.
He just signed a big time.
Look, they're professional players. I give his kids a ton of credit.
And his LiAngelo has a huge song, Tweaker. That's like a big time.
Man, you know what it is? They're like it's almost like they're the Kardashians.
I love LeVar.
Like, you don't like the kid. You don't really need like the dad.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be good at anything. He can just be famous for being the dad of kids.
LeVar says he can beat Michael Jordan in 1v1.
Yeah, I heard that. That was when he was going through his media run back when the kids were first getting started. And you know what? Hey, more power to you, dude. If you can play the social media game right, if you can play your cards right, you can make money off that. I give you credit. It doesn't mean that your kid's going to be better than Michael Jordan and that you can beat him 1v1. 100%. Exactly what he's doing.
Shador projected top five. That dude stinks.
Yeah, he's horrible.
He sucks.
Well, I've been saying this forever.
No, I don't think he's that good, but he has like that cockiness to him that I think could be good in the NFL. But I think teams are going to like that.
Deion has built those dudes up.
Yeah, Travis Hunter kids the truth. Shador, all built up hype, but that's what Deion's good at. That's what.
But even Hunter, who's a legit athlete, the guy's phenomenal. There's no doubt about it. But he was also built up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the whole two way thing and all that. There's a lot of guys that can go play two ways at mid D1 and get good numbers on both sides. They don't do it, but Deion built that up. He built that.
Yeah.
He knew what he was going to do with Hunter, and he did it. And it was smart.
They got all the cameras on the Murphy years ago. They were going crazy over the shades. Just like anything.
Yep. Amazon Prime. Yeah. You got the Prime show. Uh-huh. You got the kids, you know, the things with the watches. The whole thing, man. Like, it's all a social media deal. And it worked. It's going to get them paid.
I feel bad. I feel bad for whatever team in the top five.
Giants are going to be Giants. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
Set him in New York.
Cam Ward, I really like Cam Ward.
I think
Cam Ward's too like he's too chill.
Well, you don't have, dude. You got to remember. I feel sorry for these guys because the class they're following, the class of QBs that just came out.
Yeah,
that class is going to carry the load, man. Oh. Caleb, Daniels,
May,
Penix.
I think Darnold's gone after this year.
I'm telling you, Penix coming out late. Mm-hmm. He looks solid. If Penix can stay,
I think Cousins.
I'm just saying, you got Knicks. Knicks had a really good year.
Yeah.
I mean, you had five like guys that. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with JJ? But they had five legit guys.
I also
like you got five legit NFL starters there.
I also feel like when you look at like Shitter, I feel like I don't think it's going to be good that his dad's going to control his like his career. Like I feel like he'd be better off if it was just like him. But his dad's always going to have to like control it because like. He's kind of just going to lead the way.
That's the thing. Without
he's
his gonna dad,
have influence
without
for sure.
His dad,
oh yeah,
what is he going to be?
Nothing. Like I said, he has a lot of swag.
I don't want to take anything away from the kid. I mean, if he's paid to go pro, he's paid in the pros.
He's not first.
But again, he's getting oversold a little bit. Let him be a second rounder. Let him fall where he's. Hey, I've been beating this drum all year. I've been saying it all along. Like, you got to be careful when guys are being pumped up on social media and being sold the wrong way. But the NFL, they got to be smarter than that. Someone's got to hang their franchise on a dude.
I see guys like Jackson Dart. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, he plays for Ole Miss.
Quarterback out of Ole Miss. I think that dude's the truth. You look at him, he's anything you want. Everything you want. He can ball in the SEC. You can go crazy. You can pass for 300 if you need him to. I think that's the real steal of the draft. If you're taking Shador in the top five, then you're letting a guy like a prospect of Jackson Dart
or Dylan Gabriel. He's good. Dylan Gabriel.
This guy knows college football. I'll be honest. I'm not a college football dude. I watch enough just to be able to hold a conversation.
As a Ducks fan, watching Dylan Gabriel, you never know. He's a bit smaller. And
he's a good arm.
He has a good arm, but when he's getting bailed out versus in these big games. I'm being honest. Games like Penn State, okay, sure, whatever. Ohio State, both times. The second time, we seen it. Like, God.
Well, since who's winning the Heisman next year?
The guy from Ohio State.
Or DJ Lagway?
No, what about the guy Arch from Jeremiah Smith? Favored, yeah.
See, Arch Manning can move too, unlike his uncle and his uncle.
It's probably gonna be Arch Manning because of like Peyton Manning.
Well, Arch Manning would have to go have a great year, and Texas is set up to do it. I just don't know enough about the other guys.
Jeremiah Smith, he's legit. I like Jeremiah Smith.
He destroyed my team.
Yeah.
He destroyed Oregon.
Yeah, the Ducks. I had Oregon. I thought Oregon was going to win, honestly. I really did. I don't know. What's got you on the Ducks thing? Like, do you want to go there?
I've been wanting to go there, and I've been a fan for a long time since I was a little kid. I remember seeing the jerseys.
Oh, nice. Oh, you're right. I can see that being a youngster when they were doing all the different jerseys and the helmets.
Really stuck out between other schools.
You know why they're able to do that, right?
Yeah, Nike. Phil
exactly.
Nike.
He went there. The owner of Nike went to Oregon, so he gives so much money to the school, so that's why they're able to have the cool helmets and the jerseys and all that. When the owner of Nike went to your school, and then he's also your biggest – contributor essentially, they're able to do. Their facilities are awesome, and all has
Oregon to wasn't really that great of a football team last year, though.
Last year, see, the thing, they would have gone undefeated, but they had to play Michael Penix's Washington twice.
Oh, yeah,
the championship.
Yeah, you're talking about the previous year, yeah.
Yeah,
I see you looking, you're funny, man. The Penix instead of Penix. I saw it right away. I look over at him and he's just turning sideways and I'm like, yeah, I saw it right away. Caden goes red on me. That's
See, but Bo Nix, he always had it.
My brother loved Bo Nix. Going into the year, my brother would not shut up about Bo Nix, man. And I said, you put him in the right spot with the right coach, he got better all year.
I like Dan Lanning. He knows how to coach. I mean, first time versus Ohio State, they pulled this rule that wasn't even a rule. 12 men on the field doesn't stop the clock. So they put 12 men on the field to stop Ohio State from making that pass. And the day after, immediately after Oregon wins, they investigate it. Boom, rule changes.
What did I tell you about the details, right?
Yes,
the best details. Guys, the best coaches, they're prepared for
Howard, like, slide.
Yes, slid.
Prepared for everything. Mm-hmm. The best guys are prepared for everything. There was a game once where Vrabel ran a minute 50 off the clock in the NFL by using some weird like punt rule that he was doing, and like he was playing against the Patriots when Belichick and Brady were there. It was like Brady never got the ball back because Vrabel used some time thing that he came up with, was able to call his timeout at the right time and let the clock run and take a delay of game or whatever he did, where he literally ran a minute 50 off the clock. So it's like these guys have researched this stuff, and that's why I always brought it up during the season with the Bears, where I'm like, we don't have a competent coaching staff. There's teams out there that got this stuff clocked. They know everything. They know how to manage the clock perfectly. They got guys for it. They got a guy dedicated to it. And when you have a team that focuses on those details, you end up with a guy like Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, Sean McVay. You know, you end up with those types of guys.
I see a guy like Dan Lanning making a huge NFL career. You know, he knows the rules. He's been able to, as the years go on, he's progressively get better. Pac-12, two losses, but was able to develop Bo Nix.
And he runs pro-style offenses, right?
I mean, this year, Big Ten champs, harder conference than the Pac-12, even though they don't exist anymore. But, you know, way bigger, way harder teams. Ohio State, Penn State, just a stacked schedule than usual. Instead of playing teams like UCLA, but now they have that real competition. You see, Dan Lanning was able to compete and use the rule book for his own personal benefit. And now, after going 13-0, and then even though that loss to Ohio State, he always learns. After those two losses to Washington, he learned, and it never happened again. So now I think they're come back harder than ever. And win it all next year.
You think so?
With the Heisman hopeful quarterback in Dante Moore.
Cool. All right, man. There's a prediction on the board. It's a bit of a you know, it's biased.
Yeah.
This guy wants him to win. This he's the fan. I could see that. I don't know. My bias would be towards Arch. I'd like to see Texas win just because I'd love to see a Manning, you know, have a big time year, and he went there as the big star and sat behind somebody for two full seasons. I'd sure like to see him get his shot and see what he can do. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about it. I don't watch college football. When I watch it, it's just a different brand of football than the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard. You understand why it's hard to pick the right quarterbacks, because guys are so open in college. Like, they get separation in college that you don't see in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You see throughout the course of a college game, you're like, oh my God, how did that guy get 10 yards open? And he threw. So there's just, that's why it's hard for scouts to figure out. You see guys come out, they draft them too high and they bust out. You see it all the time.
This is some the guy from Georgia who went back-to-back, Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
He was absolutely destroying teams, but it's like, you're Georgia and you're playing other people. That's why his skill players got drafted way higher than him. Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers, because it was them.
Look at the tools he had.
Yeah.
You're throwing those guys open. Yeah. I mean, you could have taken a lot of guys that could have handled it. I mean, look at Bowers. Mm-hmm.
Anyone,
guy's a stud.
Anyone can throw the ball.
That organization.
Yeah, anyone can throw the ball when you got those tools. You can pack anyone in that backfield and they'll make it happen.
Right. And then you got a run game with it, so that means those guys are going to be open all the time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, boys, you ready to call it a night?
Yeah.
All right, man, this was fun. We got our Super Bowl picks in. We talked some NBA. Appreciate you joining, Edwin. This was awesome. Remember to like us, follow us, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods.
I'll think it's
Thank
on
you
Apple.
So much. No, it is on Apple. It's on Spotify and Apple. What are you talking about?
I found my Apple.
I'll show you. Thank you so much for listening. You guys have a great night.